What's one Latin phrase that is essential for hobby riders wanting to turn into pro riders? It's not et cetera, or opsit, or even ibid. Nota bene comes close, but that means note well. You sometimes see it as NB. This Latin phrase is for those who write fiction and nonfiction. Leo Tolstoy, that famous Russian writer, is the first pro writer that I heard espouse it. Since then, I've seen over a dozen writers claim this phrase leads to success. What is it? Nulla dies sine linea. No days without lines. With all the distractions and disruptions, how can we achieve nulla dies sine linea? Maybe this episode can help. Welcome to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, headed up by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Edie Runes and Remy Black, all from writersincbooks.com. Our focus is productivity, process, craft, and tools. A summary, links, and resources for this episode and others can be found on therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. We're podcasting Think Like a Pro, new advent for writers. Copyright 2017 with the revised edition in 2018 by M.A. Lee. This is Chapter 2, One Latin Phrase, Nulla dies sine linea. No days without lines. It would take no days without lines to write the massive War and Peace, wouldn't it? Leo Tolstoy used it. As many revisions as that tome faced, and his wife Sophia hand-wrote every revision, sometimes up to 30. Wonderful woman, Tolstoy needed that Latin phrase. This little phrase is key, and it is extremely hard to do. Life interferes so easily. Yet we need to make this our mantra. Nulla dies sine linea. Nulla dies sine linea. Nulla dies sine linea. And then we must follow through with the action of those words. According to the Roman historian Pliny, a painter named Apelles originally coined the phrase. Anthony Trollope shares it as his mantra in his autobiography. It works. It works even if you're only generating 2 or 3 pages a day. Even if you can only manage 1 page a day, it's the cumulative effect that counts. We must write every day. That needs to be a shout. Write every day. We don't need to accept any excuses. This is a profession. Treat it like one. We go to the 9-to-5 grind every day. Therefore, we need to write every day. Nulla dies sine linea. Look, we have to treat writing like the job it is. It's not our hobby. We let other people think it's our hobby. After all, we're at home. Look at the ways we let them interrupt us. They say, you can watch the kids for a little while, but that's the little while that we worked all week to get to. When we refuse to go on an outing, like the movies or shopping, they say, how selfish you've become. You don't even want to go out with family and friends. Or they say, we can sit and talk and watch TV together. You're not doing anything anyway, are you? No other profession is so easily interrupted and so hard to pick up. After the interruption, we must guard our little snippets of time. We've carved them out. We must use them. Some writers, the ones who've made megabucks, rent office space. They go to their offices to write. If they didn't, all the little tugs on their sleeves just for this little bit will mean that they get nothing accomplished. Some writers work early in the morning, before the family climbs out of bed. They can pursue an hour or two of good, fresh word spillage, nulla dies sine linea, which means put pen to paper. Having the smallest daily flow of creative energy fires up even more creative energy. Choke it, stifle it, and our world darkens. As Aeneas Nin said, we write to expand our world when we feel strangled, or constricted, or lonely. We write as the bird sings, as the primitives dance the ritual. If you do not breathe through writing, if you do not cry out in writing or sing in writing, then don't write, because our culture has no use for it. When I don't write, I feel my world shrinking. I feel I am in prison. I feel I lose my fire and my color. This comes from her essays entitled In Favor of the Sensitive Man. We have to remember, no days without lines. Nulla dies sine linea. Surely we can carve out some time. We do want massive blocks of time, yet few people get what they want. An hour here, 30 minutes there, 15 here. Our goal is to have every increment count, no matter how small. Plan to write and write to the plan. The lesson of Chapter 1, Deadlines, is just as important when we begin working with our plan. We have the amount of writing we want to accomplish. We have the time we need to spend. Now we need to use it. Deadlines help us reach our goals. We plan our goal. Brownies, racing, church service. Then we listen for the ding of the oven that lets us know the brownies are ready. Or we look for the checkered flag at the finishing line of the Brickyard 500. We bow our heads for the benediction at the end of the service. And some people have their hearts already out the door. We aim for the deadlines and drive until the end. Our reward, besides chocolatey goodness, is the completed project in our hands, along with the knowledge that we can send that project into the world. All that measuring, all that stirring, all that waiting, and we have fudgy, gooey brownies to drink with our afternoon coffee. In Chapter 1 is the work process needed to turn ideas into a completed manuscript, starting with the original prep of character and plot development. However, that work process can be a long slog through mucky mire, with red clogs sticking to our shoes and following us everywhere. So the deadline is not enough. We have to commit to the deadline and recommit to that deadline every single day. We plan the work. First, we have to know what needs to be done. What story stage have we reached? Still sketching ideas? Still developing characters? Got 50 pages of the draft done? Yippee! No, wait, don't start revising yet. Don't polish it up. Don't run through a final edit. Let me introduce you to Robert Heinlein, famous writer of pulp fiction and science fiction. Heinlein wrote a lot. Really, a lot. He had 5 rules of writing, the first 2 of which are very important for us. Heinlein's first rule of writing relates to our mantra. He speaks all of his rules with the sonorous weight of the writer who has struggled and knows what leads to achievement. Rule number 1, you must write. Rule number 2, finish what you start. In other words, write every day. Nulla dies in alinea. Focus your writing on the section of the work that you need to complete, and complete that section before you move on to the next focus. Yes, yes, we can squeeze in a little work here and there. 15 minutes waiting at the doctor's office. 30 minutes waiting to pick up someone. Blessed hour of silence when the words pour out. We have to use that time to achieve our goals. Work the plan to have every increment count. We first admit that writing anything is a multi-step process, and we writers are multitasking throughout every part of it. Just think of how much story we are juggling in our heads every time we sit down to write a scene. Sketching is the first step, the white-hot creative flow. A largish block of time is needed. The first step of any project is the creative preliminary look, the sketch. This is the sparked idea, the one that excites us, the glimmer of the final project that we see shining at the top of a great pyramid. The final project may not look anything like our glittering, wondrous spark, or it may. This is the starting point. Let the ideas pour out. Ignore every language rule you ever learned. Ignore spelling and capitalization and sentence structure. Ignore anything that anyone has ever said about writing novels. Then, when you sit back with a sigh and say, "Yes, that's it. That's what I want," then this idea is sparked. It may take an hour or two. It might be a sentence in a journal that you come back to later and spend time exploring. Get the ideas on paper rather than some electronic device. Be able to hold the idea in your hand. That tangible connection creates a bond with your mind. Next step, planning. Stop and go. Small increments will work. This step can be interrupted. The plan includes character and plot development. Research for anything special fits here as well. You want that special thing swirling around like an embryo, generating ideas. The parts of the sketch can be broken into sections. In other words, don't get fascinated by the protagonist's greatest stress point when you haven't considered your protagonist's personality. The next stage is drafting. Some creativity is needed, mostly grunt work. We can sometimes be easily interrupted, but not always. The basic bulk of the project in a workable form that presents a view of the finished project is the draft. It's the hardest part, no matter what profession you are in. The draft will never look perfect, Unless you're the genius we all hate and you churn out thousands of perfect words every day. The draft has flaws. Let it bask in those flaws. Remember, we're writers. Writers write and rewrite. The draft, though, is the very thing that most wannabe writers never complete. It's the importance of Heinlein's rule number 2. Finish it. Once it's finished, it can be improved. Much like the sketch, when you're drafting, don't worry about your English teachers and professors. Ignore them. Toss them out the window. Get that story on paper, then print it out. Hug the draft to you. It's your child, birthed by you through much labor. Give it love, because in just a little bit, you'll have to give it tough love. That's the revision step. It demands creative flow. We need the largest block of time without interruptions. This is where everything becomes better. Now that your manuscript has had its love, time to give it some discipline. Revising requires a return to creativity. You are judging the scenes that you have, adding new ones, gutting the useless ones, and enhancing everything that stays. You are tweaking descriptions and sequences. You are checking the flow of scenes and sequels. You are adding little twists of characters. You're tucking in clues and foreshadowing. And you're playing with the language without creating sacred cows that must be sacrificed. Add it, correct it, then read the manuscript as one great gulp to check for more. Proofing and editing. Since this step can be picked up and set down easily, use for the smallest increments of time. In these two stages of work, proofing and editing, you are turning to your old English teachers and professors. Yep, you do have to listen to them occasionally, for the basic rules of standard American English or whatever standard language form you are using. You need to pay attention to the punctuation coding and spelling and capitalization and sentence structure and paragraphs and dialogue tags. Your readers certainly will spot your errors. The story may be powerful enough to hold them through the errors in order to reach the end, but we need them to come back for the next book. Proofing requires another reread through the manuscript. Turn off the creative side of your brain. Turn on the editor. Be cold, be logical. Hate the words, hate the commas, and push them where they go. All so that your readers will love the story as much as you do. In proofing and editing, we make certain that readers are not distracted by grammars and typos so that they will buy the next book. Plan the work to work the plan. If we plan our work, we can work our plan. We become more efficient when we know ways to use every increment from the large blocks to the smallest segments. Planning is not a calendar, but a plan needs a calendar. How is it not a calendar? A plan means that you're working on a project. Break the project into its constituent parts. What makes a book? Think about all those parts. Have different eyes looking at the writing plan. Sketching, 1, the idea. 2, the theme or tagline. The unexpected element that sets this work apart from others. This sets the niche for the book or blog. 3, run a plot. 7, beginning in 2 steps, end in 2 steps, the middle 3 steps that take the writing from beginning to end, and shuffle those 7 into order. Planning. 1, develop your characters. 2, find your settings and special elements. 3, connect the plot 7 to a particular plot method. Drafting. 1, write the book. This will be the hardest job of all. Everything else is easy. Revising. A developmental editor will find plot holes and discrepancies and character hiccups. Look at pacing. Faster. Slower. Glossing required. Show. Don't tell. Revise again. Third time's charm. Proofing and editing. A line editor will help with word usage, grammar usage mechanics, and other ticky little problems that people notice the most. How do these divisions fit onto a calendar? The calendar won't dictate your writing world until you see the average speed at which you work, the number of words per day, the number of words needed to finish the book, everything turned into a math equation. The calendar's sole purpose is to keep you focused. It knows what you should be doing and what's next and next and next. Use that calendar. First, plan this week. Plan for 6 days of the week. You should have no more than 3 projects to work on. The primary project is whatever you are drafting or revising. The secondary project should be something that needs finishing off and which can be interrupted. The third project is something to give your creative brain a little respite from the primary project. Stay on track through the week. Don't stress if you get behind. plan a makeup, or shift something to the next week. If you get ahead, don't overplan for the next week. Every night, look over the next day's focus. Consider the scene. The brain will work on the plan while you sleep. Yes, your brain will dream your work. Creative ideas come from dreams. On the seventh day, whichever day that you pick for your day off, take the day away from the primary project. Play with writing by doing a creative exercise. This prevents burnout. Also, on the seventh day, plan the next week. You should be able to look ahead a few days and schedule your writing time and projected word count on your primary project. Second, plan the month. On the last seventh day of the month, look ahead to the next month. Determine your primary project focus. Be realistic. Don't overextend. Add in required days off. Know the errands that have to be done weekly and monthly, such as grocery shopping and bill paying. Schedule time for life. Third, plan the season or the quarter. As you end each season, look into the next. Seasonal planning keeps you on track and keeps you adjusting, especially in the early days of your writing career. You see how many interruptions are occurring, you see how much work you can accomplish, and you adjust to fit. Plan a realistic primary project for each quarter of the coming year. If you are a fast writer, each season could be a manuscript, 4 novels a year. If you're slow, each season could be a major stage of the book, the prep, the draft, the revision, the proof, and cover and marketing. Fourth and finally, plan the year. Write your year's plan where you will see it constantly. What are your 3 major projects? Marketing and promotions, by the way, should count as a project. Schedule for the marketing. Check things off. Highlight things. Put up sticky notes. Take them off and adjust as needed. Follow the plan and write a small amount every day. Remember, nulla dies sine linea, no days without lines. A plan creates magic. Let's do math. Most manuscript pages should follow standard size. That's a letter size page with 1-inch margins written in Times New Roman. Yes, I know it's ugly. Font size 12. The average number of words on a single page set up for standard is 250. 250 words times 5 pages equals 1,250. Can you write 5 pages a day for 4 days a week? That's 5,000 words. 5,000 words over 10 weeks is 50,000 words. That's a novel. It's not an epic, but it is a novel. Short stories are under 8,000 words. A novelette is about 8,000 to 18,000. A novella runs from 18,000 to 40,000 words. A novel starts at 40,000. It once was a fact that different genres required different lengths. In this day of self-publishing, the hard and fast genre length mandate is falling apart. However, we're counting words to determine work habits. Let's set our number of days working at 1,000 words per day for 5 days a week. Give yourself a day for the business of writing. Take off 1 day for rest, creativity, and planning. And keep in mind that emergencies and errands will throw everything off. 1,000 words for 5 days is 5,000 words. The same number of words you can accomplish working a bit longer for 4 days a week. Here's more math. 250 times 5 pages equals 1,250 times 5 days equals 6,250 words a week times 4 weeks equals a month equals 25,000 words. And you're not even pushing. 6,250 words a week for 50 weeks of the year. Take 1 week for vacation. Have the other days for relationship commitments and generate 312,500 words or 1,250 pages. Now that's an epic. Robert B. Parker, writer of the series with the famous tough guy and poet Spencer, wrote 5 pages every day but Sunday. In a year, that's 1,565 pages or 391,250 words at about 250 words per page. Admittedly, many of those pages are likely revisions of other pages, and some of those pages have to be gutted and reworked. But still, drips and drips will fill a bucket. Word by word, that's how novels and blogs are written. Watch the miracle occur. Wisely using small increments will miraculously generate more work. Even more miraculously, larger increments of time will show up in our busy schedules. So, nulla dies sine linea, no days without lines, shows us the power of increments. Set a realistic, achievable daily increment. 1,500 words, 1,000, 500, 250 words, even 100 words will help us achieve a goal. On many, many days, we will far surpass that goal. On many, many days, we will struggle to achieve the bare minimum. The power of increments, though, means we are constantly plugging along. Increments and consistency, these are the watchwords of pro writers. No days without lines. Next up is Chapter 3 of Think Like a Pro, One Guiding Decision. See you next Wednesday. Until then, write on.